Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now. I'm the man, Jordan Rabelt, your host. No co-hosts, no guests, nothing. Just me. You got nobody else coming in. Just me. So what it is, I got something very interesting on my email yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. After every show, I email the people who... Oh my God, my phone's going off. Sorry about that. I email the people who came to the show, bought tickets, and I say, thank you for coming to the show. I really appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. And I want to say this about every show, every live show I do, is I give my best every fucking time. I really do. But, you know, so here's, I email a nice thing being like, hey, it's me. In case you forgot, here's my website. Here's my podcast, YouTube sketches, and here's some stuff you could check out if you'd like. Really appreciate you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your time, Jordan. Really simple email. So this is the response I got from an audience member. And I want to say, you know, I'll wait for after. I send out this bland-ass email, and here's the response I get from this woman. I strongly regret attending your, quote, comedy show. Why do you feel that insulting women's bodies is humor? You think you're better off because of your genitalia? Are you five? You choose to brag while making cruel comments and think it's funny. It's no different than standing in front of a group of African Americans and stating that you're better off in our society because you're white. By the way, this girl hasn't gotten your correct yet, and passing it off as a joke. What is wrong with you? You hurt and alienated half your audience. Why? Why insult people who paid money and came out to have a laugh? Women are bombarded with negative messages all the time in our society. The most intimate parts of our bodies groped or abused verbally. Leave our bodies alone. Verbal insults hurt. It's so wrong. I hope you rethink your material and try to write something worthy of a true laugh. Not a comfortable fake laugh masking the hurt and shame you're evoking with your humor. You made yourself look mean and talentless and killed the show. Honestly, you should be cringing with shame and regret for being so ignorant and discompassionate. Grow up. So I get that. You know what? I know people are always like, you shouldn't care what anyone thinks of you, and you shouldn't care what people think of the stuff you make, but it really, really does hurt every time someone says some shit like that. Even if you read it and you go, this is not the most intelligent email I've ever gotten, probably not from the smartest person in the world, they almost certainly misinterpreted a joke or two within the entire 45-minute set. Are you fucking kidding me? 45 minutes. That's how comedy works, though. People hear, they hear one thing and they get offended or angry and it just ruins the whole show. One thing. One thing. Dude, have you ever been to a concert? Some of these bands don't have 15 songs to play. They play, like, there's always one or two songs. You're just like, man, you know what? What if they just didn't do this song? That shit happens. Especially like the high wire act that comedy is. It's already so difficult. It's so difficult to be funny for an extended period of time when people expect you to be funny on command. But that's the job, so you can't really complain. I know I did just complain, but you know, that's why it's material. And I looked over my set. I don't know how many of you guys have seen me live, but if you have, I'd say I'm actually not that hateful on stage. I don't do any jokes that I would classify as homophobic. I certainly don't do any jokes about the physical appearance of women. I don't do any crowd work that I would call hurtful or mean. I would never point to an audience member at some deformity or their particular gender, race, and say something hateful about it at all. I don't do any stereotypical comedy. Like, I know there's a lot of club comedians in New York City that do jokes where they're like, for example, will point to, like, let's say an Indian person and be like, oh, hey, you're Indian, right? And they'll be like, yes. And then they'll go, so what are you, an engineer or a doctor? And they'll say yes, probably, to that. And then they'll be like, oh, I'm a genius, look at that. Or they'll be like, oh, so what, you, if they go, no, I'm not those two things, they'll go, oh, so you're just a disappointment to your parents. Huge laugh. It's terrible comedy. But I don't even do stuff like that because those are joke book jokes. So I don't even know what she's referring to when I first get this. I'm like, what? And also, I think back to the show, and the show in Rhode Island was in this like nice brewery. It was super fun. The whole thing went well. After the show, some guy, a group of people tried to buy me a beer. They hung out with me. Like 10 people hung out with us after the show for like an hour, and then we were like, hey, we got to go to our hotel. People bought shirts. Multiple people came up and said, hey, that was so much fun. Thank you. So, and I only say those things to let you know I know what a bad show is like, and that was the show on Saturday. I did in Amherst, where for whatever reason, I couldn't connect that night, and I fought my way through 45 minutes of shame. I would say shame on that show. It was all right. I did okay. I did okay. I just didn't connect fully. It was an uphill battle. And I know that because after the show, a few people came up to me and they were like, hey, man, you're really funny. I don't know why the audience was so bad tonight. And I was like, yeah, I don't know why either. You were the audience. Why were you bad? You could have not been bad tonight. So, hey, that's just how this works sometimes. It's kind of happens to everybody. You even could see it like that documentary that came out a long time ago, I Am Comedian, and Jerry Seinfeld. He had like bad shows even at that point. I'm not saying that show was like bad, but it wasn't like, I mean, I've been part of bad shows. Oh my God. And it's been my fault. Totally. Of course. And I'll have plenty of bad shows ahead of me. But so that's why I get this email. I'm like, what are you talking about? Nobody seemed angry. I emailed back, hi Kelly, I have no idea which joke you're referring to. I don't think I insulted any women's bodies or shamed a single audience member. Could you provide more context? Best, Jordan. Pretty reasonable response by me, right? Per usual. Also, I know I sound really argumentative on this podcast and maybe hateful or mean or whatever, but I'm really, goddamn, I hate conflict. I really do. Why do you think I record this thing where nobody can rebut anything I say? I actually do dislike conflict, or I try to figure out where someone's coming from very quickly, and I try to understand their viewpoint. Anyone who knows me well, I believe, will attest to that, except for maybe a few of my friends who I, like Will Posnan, one of my best friends, dude. I'm just vicious to him and will argue with him till I'm blue in the face. But also because that guy fucking deserves it. You know what I mean? Anyway, she emails back. Maybe it was the other guy, your brother. It was at the end of the show. I'm not the only honest audience member who felt this way. Yeah, you were. One person referred to him as a misogynist, which I thought was too nice. Oh my God. Suck a dick. If you were the tall guy, I thought you had talent, good physicality, and your humor was not cruel. Very true. My brother is all of those things. He's absolutely hysterical. I think he's the funniest person ever. But tell the other guy to leave women's vaginas alone. If he's so happy not to have one, he should keep it to himself. I'm surprised you don't know what I'm referring to. Kelly. Now I know exactly what she's referring to. I know the exact joke she's referring to, and also I know the point in my set when I do this joke. This is about minute 38 or 39. Now, here's what I find so fucking annoying about that is, I've just given you 38 minutes of quality. I have been doing great for 38 minutes. Now, I say one thing that you personally object to and it ruins the whole show. How weak-spirited are you that you hear one thing you don't find totally agreeable? Also, this is a fucking comedy show. This is the goddamn place for that. That's why you're here. That's a component of why you're here, because you're going to hear people speak the way you're not supposed to speak in polite society. I'm not running for office. I'm not in the workplace, you know, the traditional workplace. I guess I'm working, but not really. This is what it is. It's a fucking stand-up comedy show. I'm not even one of those comedians who thinks like comedy's supposed to be offensive and hateful. And if you can't handle it, then you're fucking pussy. I don't think that at all. I like doing comedies. I like connecting with people. When I go up there and like, I don't know, condescend to people or talk down to them or be hateful or mean-spirited, I don't want people to walk out of the show and be like, God, what an asshole. But now, Everyone's due one of these emails, dude. I'm shocked it took this long. You do stand-up comedy. You do anything. You do literally anything in this world where you're providing a thing where people are going to have an opinion afterward, and this is what you face. So the joke I do is it goes like this, and I'm going to provide it. I'm going to give it no verve, and if you want verve, maybe I'll put a setup on the Rabled Brothers YouTube channel sometime very soon. With the joke on it, so you can be like, oh, wow, that actually is a funny joke. But anyway, here is the single joke this woman had an issue with. I give women a lot of credit to take care of a vagina. I couldn't do it. I can't even take care of a Tamagotchi. Ba-doom-tsh. I'm not an expert in the vagina, but from my outside vantage point, I'd say it's like having a pool in your backyard. Yeah, sure, it's the most fun, but oh my god, there's so much upkeep. And then I do some tags that equate the pool to a vagina. And then I finish by saying, hey, all I'm saying is I think it's much better to know someone else who owns it. That's the joke. Because pools are a nightmare. And I think vaginas are, compared to penises, a lot more work. I think everyone would agree with that by the sheer fact that women have periods and have to go to the gynecologist regularly. Don't have periods. Don't have anyone examine my dick literally ever. My girlfriend barely even looks at it. You know what I mean? When we do it, we put a sheet, we hide it, because, you know, no one wants to see a penis. I don't want to bring shame. And you know what? That joke is actually, truly, that's about how hard being a woman is. You know what's so funny is after I say that joke, I even go, sometimes people get offended by this joke, but here's the thing, is that's not an opinion, that's an observation. Those are two different things. Not an opinion, not an observation. Like, women, it's just more work. Like, how often do you go to the gynecologist? Once a year, maybe it's twice, unless stuff goes bad. Men, how often do you go to the dick doctor? Never. We never go to the only way we get us to go to the dick doctor is if our penis falls off. Boom. Joke. Act out after that. Come see me live. Give me your money. Right? Am I fucking crazy? I'm actually serious. Would someone let me know if I'm out of my mind and I'm completely off base here. I'm really happy. I'm really happy that someone felt so compelled by something I did that they wrote me hate mail. And it made me think for a moment, how do I feel about this? And I have no doubt I have written misogynist jokes and or bad jokes. And hopefully they fall by the wayside, you know? Hopefully this one, you know, falls by the wayside at some point in time because I'm writing something even better than it. But, like, that joke isn't even hateful. It's an observation. That's it. I've run it by my mom. I've run it by my sisters, who are all three extremely intelligent. You know, the joke is actually about how hard being a woman is. It's so much more work. It's difficult. And that's what's so funny is I do that joke, and then afterward I make fun of that men are so stupid and we're so dumb that the only way you get us to take care of ourselves is if our dicks fell off. That's the only way. So, I mean, which one am I really saying? I even do a joke about how I'm taking out all of the context of jokes and all of the flow, so everything I'm saying sounds like horrible and hacky, I guess, and how obvious. But I think that's what ends up happening whenever you break down a joke in this fashion. I say, like, how ugly, about how ugly penises are. I literally say they're so ugly in my set. Talking about how nobody wants to see them. That whenever you walk through a museum, you're like, these statues should have pants on. But that's, I emailed her that explanation. No one jokes say that the worst of penis is, you know, whatever I just told you. And I admit, perhaps I didn't fully express that idea well enough. I always am rewriting my jokes to improve them. I appreciate your writing me. Let me know that I should reexamine parts of what I do. Then I say that I don't believe that my act is steeped in misogyny. I do jokes making fun of all sorts of things. I do a lot of jokes that are self-deprecating, that are embarrassing, like shameful moments for me or when I look like an idiot. Because it's not good to be the champion on stage. Being the cool guy and the champion, that's not funny at all. It's not even interesting to me. A good, there's no good story, like no story worth telling that was like, so what happened? Like, oh yeah, we just had good sex. Wow, thanks for telling me, dude. Don't waste my time with that story. Oh, and then what happened? I got a raise and now my life is fantastic. There's no book where that's a story. There's no movie where it's just a guy having a good time all the time or a girl having a good time all the time. Those aren't good stories. Those aren't interesting. It's interesting when something rough happens to you or when a thing doesn't go your way or when you're embarrassed. Those are the funny things. So I you know, I even, because of her, I went through everything and I thought about whether or not I was awful. And I have no doubt that I mean, I've recorded and said things on this podcast that I'm sure if you played back to me, I'd be like, fuck, I don't stand behind that. Or maybe I do stand by everything. Who knows? But I kind of I stood up for myself. But here's what I find funny is afterward, I stressed how much I appreciated that she emailed me to tell me this. But I also said, I think you need to rethink how you talk to strangers. How would you feel if someone emailed you to tell you that you were, quote, mean, talentless, and killed the show? You'd probably be pretty hurt, right? I'm not talentless. I'm not mean. You only wrote those things to make someone, a stranger who did nothing but their sincere best, feel bad. They're not statements about a joke you didn't like to lead to a broader discussion about gender roles and misogyny. Those are insults, personal insults. I was only trying to be funny. You're trying to be hurtful. Thank you for your comments. I'll continue to form stand-up and always doing whatever I can to improve. Part of doing that, of doing art, is that some people are not going to like you or what you do. I truly wish you nothing but the best, Jordan. And you know what happened in true fashion? I tell you what, when I asked for more context, she was quick on that fucking email. As soon as I go, hey, could you tell me the joke that was wrong? She sent that email within the half hour. I send her a rebuttal explaining myself and providing even more context to the joke and even providing the goddamn joke itself. Nothing. Nothing. Weird, huh? Weird that as soon as I stood up, someone stood up for their work and explained to you what the thing actually meant, you back down. That's weird. That's real weird. I you know what? It even shows you what kind of character she has. Maybe she doesn't want to apologize, but she can't even be like, she's not even trying to understand where she's coming from. She's only trying to make me feel bad. And frankly, mission accomplished. It made me feel really bad. This is actually a really good thing, because the more of these sorts of things you get, I think the stronger you get. This kind of getting like hate like this, it only makes you stronger. When you have someone tell you what you do is really, really bad and you still push through and you re-examine and then try and improve it. So God bless you. I'm glad I really mean it. I appreciate that. You know, she took the time out of her life to tell me I blow and tell me I'm an asshole and a piece of shit. But I don't think this sort of thing is very balanced. God damn, you know what? If you don't want to hear things, if you want to hear things you want to hear 100% of the time, then go to other places. Don't go to a comedy show. Don't go to a stand-up comedy show. Seriously, don't. Don't go. It's not for you. If you don't want to hear a thing that maybe is over the line, don't go to a comedy show. This isn't the place for that. You're supposed to push boundaries here or make arguments. It's not supposed to be a kind, cordial place. It's not. I'm not saying people are supposed to feel alienated, uncomfortable, but there's an element of jokes where you're going to hear not what you want to hear, and that goes every way. I'm not even just talking about, like, and I know everyone else associates this as, like, for lack of better words, white, straight, male comedy. You know what I mean? I mean, even, like, strong feminist comedians, like Nikki Glaser, comedians like that. Or like Yamanika Saunders. They're not going to tell you what you want to hear. That's not their job. They're going to tell you some things you probably could object to or that might hurt your feelings a little bit. Jesus Christ, you know? Don't go. It's also crazy to me how comfortable everybody feels. I think it's a consequence of things like Uber and Yelp and Amazon always asking everyone for, everyone's always asking for reviews. What did you think? What did you think? You know what? Kind of don't give a fuck what you think a little bit. Kind of don't. Because I don't think you're an intelligent person who understood all of it. I don't think you are. Not everyone. There's too many people's opinions. They just think they can just shoot it off. And they don't realize that a lot of times there's actually a human being on the other end who is not trying to take advantage of you or grift you of your money. You're just being hateful to them. Now, I know sometimes you get a thing and it's horrible, but especially in the case of that show, that was 38, 39 minutes into my fucking set. My brother just did 30, 35 minutes. The host did 15 minutes. Like, you just got over an hour and a half or an hour, 15, hour, 20 minutes of comedy, and then you hear one joke you don't like. And that's the only joke she talked about, so I'm sure she would have brought up other ones. And you know what? I went through my set. Only joke where I say anything remotely like that. You just got an hour, 15, hour, 20, and everything was great. And then you hear one thing you don't like, or you find even remotely offensive to your standards, and it ruins your whole night to the point where you email someone that they're talentless? Come on, you and I both know that's not true. You and I both know that's not true. And even if I am, I'm glad I took your $10. I've never fucking written, I swear to God, the only review, I think I said this on the podcast, I've ever written was for the puppy daycare place that killed my family's dog. That's the only, I've written reviews, but that's the only negative one. I've written reviews for friends' podcasts and friends' whatever, because if they've asked me to do it out of kindness, 5 stars. You know? Five, I didn't even fucking listen or watch their shit. 5 stars. That's the kind of friend I am. You want me to do it? I don't care, man. What's the podcast called? Hitler Was Right? 5 stars. See, right there, that's a joke. Now, if you say, is that a statement? No, it's not a statement. Fuck. It's a joke. I mean that because only a fucking idiot would think that Hitler was right. God damn. Don't go to shows. If that's the kind of person you are, don't go. We wanted to have a laugh. Yeah? Did you watch her clips online? Did you see our fucking YouTube channel? That's actually your fault at this point, because we are immensely YouTubeable. We have a sketch where Brett is cleaning a gun on a grassy knoll, accidentally pulls the trigger, and blows JFK's head off. If you think that is offensive, probably not going to like our stand-up. You know? Probably not. Probably going to find that offensive. I don't get this. Everyone feels so liberated to share their experience. What the fuck is that? And it's one thing if... Here's actually where I... Oh, yeah, okay, write reviews, whatever. Here's where it differs in what she did is she actually got personal. She didn't keep it at, this is about the joke, this is about... the idea or the concept, I didn't agree with that idea. I find it offensive or inappropriate, whatever that means, at a 21 plus comedy show. But okay, she didn't get it. She made sure to insult me personally and my ability personally and me. She attacked me, not the joke, me. So I think that's the difference right there is when you get personal, that's the difference. You know what I mean? Like, I went to this play called Shen Yun. And what it is, I don't, you've probably seen the billboards all over the place, is it is a Chinese dance show. It's an interpretation of Christians in China. And China is a largely atheist society, or an atheist It is an atheist society in which, like, religion, I guess, has been oppressed over the years. I'm going to be frank with you. I'm pretty iffy on the details, loose on my history of that. But I don't think there was a ton of Christianity there. But it's a play about a sect of Christianity that felt persecuted in China. And they have dance numbers that incorporate elements of modern Chinese dance. Now, that show is terrible. Truly. It's really boring. I know some people may like it. This is my personal opinion. It is, watching people dance is boring. It's boring. The people who are performing have immense talent. Their technical ability is phenomenal. They're all really flexible. Whatever the vision of the show was, they executed it well. It's just not a good show. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's not thought-provoking to me. And it's not for me. I'm sure there's people out there that love the show and go to the show if you enjoy it. But for me, it was terrible. Now, you want to know what I did when the show ended? I got in my car. I shit-talked the show with my family. Went home, and went to bed. Now, at no point in that was I like, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to find the name of the head dancer at this show and tell him that I think he's a real, real untalented moron for coming up with such a dumb, fucking boring show that drags out over the course of 2.5 hours. I didn't do that. I didn't go personally make him feel bad. The show wasn't for me. I went to the show. My fault. You know, I didn't like it. Also, isn't it interesting to go to things you hate or that aren't for you? Wow, what a great experience it is. Those are memories. You don't forget that. You know how many good movies I've seen in my life? So many. I don't even remember them. There's so many good movies. I don't remember. You know why they were good and they just happened. But the bad ones, those stick with you. You never forget the bad ones, do you? You never forget the bad comedy shows you have. You never forget those ones. You never forget those awful experiences. So those are more valuable. Way more valuable. So her having me say a joke she hates, you're welcome for the memory. You'll be able to bring up. And when she says the other audience member felt that way, who is it? Your boyfriend? Come on. Come on. Weird that she didn't respond to that email, though. It's weird. It's weird. Very, very, very strange. Very, very strange. That once you get a balanced response, that also shows that I am an empathetic person who does care. Weird. It's just weird. Because that's the world we live in now. That is the world. She wasn't ready for a reasonable conversation. I don't know what she expected to happen after that email. She just emailed her back and be like, I'm glad I took your money. I get it now. People are, I don't know what they want comedy to be. You know? They just want us to do, like, I mean, I know there's this comedian, Ryan Hamilton. He's a clean comedian who does great observational humor. He's hilarious. And he has a bit about what are those called? Hot air balloons. He has a bit about hot air balloons. Fantastic bit. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. Hot air balloons, Ryan Hamilton. Yo, this bit is so fucking funny, and it's so silly, and so benign. It's the type of topic, it's like, you know, it's not like he's talking about Black Lives Matter, right, or Blue Lives Matter, or gender roles, or, you know, it's nothing like that, and it's a fantastic bit. And he, on his special, said that he did that bit, and wouldn't you believe it, but someone got offended. Someone got offended. I don't know how I feel, but I can't. So one hand, there is validity to something being offensive or you know what, man? Just don't. I know you're at a comedy show and you're in the audience already, but if it's offensive to you, you can get up and leave. I mean, sending an email's it's a fine response, I suppose. Granted, she didn't have to, you know, say it was clearly a mean-spirited email. And what else is funny, she thought about me for 3 days straight. She just talked about this fucking show for 3 days straight. I hope other people come to the show from her just to see how horrible. I'm absolutely not even that type of comedian. That's what's so goddamn frustrating. You know, I'm not like some 90s comedian who's like doing some hack-ass awful racial stereotype shit. Good Lord. The people want to be offended. Maybe that's why, I mean, that's probably a component of why you go to the show, because it might just be like really inappropriate jokes. I'm going to do that joke this weekend, and then I'm going to ask someone what they think. Like, I'm going to be like, what do you think of that joke? Is that joke misogyny or not? If it is, isn't... I mean, I am a guy. I'm probably going to do jokes from a male's perspective. I mean, there was this one, those Netflix, you ever watch the 15-minute things on Netflix? One of the comedians on there literally apologized for being a white straight male as his opener. By the way, nobody laughed because that's not funny. That's a terrible thing to do. It's so lame. It's so pandery. He was like, because who cares about my opinion anymore? It's like, oh, God damn it, dude. Come on, man. Just, you know, if that's how you feel, then fucking quit comedy. Go do something else. If you think that your voice shouldn't be heard or you don't enjoy the art form, don't open with an apology, though. You should never apologize for being up there, ever. You never should. You can apologize maybe if you say something that you, upon further reflection, don't agree with. Like, I know when I did this podcast with my old co-host, there are some things that I perhaps said or did that I now am thinking back and I'm like, fuck, I wish I didn't do that. And there's also, oh my God, there's times I walk down the street and think about bits I did or tried and just, oh, just get douche chills. But getting offended, like I know that like Nimish Patel, he's in the first Indian writer for SNL, Indian American writer for SNL, and he got in trouble for, he was performing at Columbia University at some, it was actually like a, I can't remember the exact name of the event, but it was an event where he was, it was like a diversity event, and I think it was for, if I'm remembering correctly, Asian students, and he did a joke. He, I think, discusses race a fair amount in a set. I don't know Nimish personally, and I've never really seen him perform, but he did a joke about, the joke is that he knows that being gay is not a choice, because if it were a choice, nobody who's black would be gay, because no one would be like, this black shit's too easy. Let me add being gay on top of that. So that joke is about how being black in America is very difficult. Being gay in America is very difficult. Anyone with a rational brain wouldn't choose to do both of those things at the same time. You know, I think it's funny and the logic flows. I think doing a joke about whether or not homosexuality is a choice is a dated idea, but perhaps that's just because I'm so steeped in stand-up comedy and the world of jokes within stand-up comedy that for me, I would probably never do a joke that was a choice. Maybe I'll probably fucking eat those words as soon as I write a good one. But that said, that joke, funny, logic flows, makes sense. And he ends up having his mic cut and thrown out and all these articles written about how he's awful. And he did some funny responses where he was like, this is kind of how the real world is. I don't love that this is how the real world is stuff because it is condescending. But also in his defense, he's suddenly faced with like a bunch of people saying that what he's doing is reprehensible. And it's not. He's doing the thing you hired him to do. And I think if you go and look at Nimish Patel's record, you'd be like, yeah, this sounds exactly like what this dude's going to do on stage. And he's good at it. I don't know, personally, but he's good at it. He writes for SNL, so he's probably not a fucking moron. You know? So it's on you that you hired him. Right? That one's on you. It's not like he's changing the act right before. I saw one comment within, you know, I have an addiction to the comments within Reddit and YouTube. I love getting in the weeds, baby. God damn, I get in those comments. I don't even read articles. I just go right to the comments and see what's the take. But I see on his, there's a, within those comments, there's someone wrote something like, quote, know your audience, end quote. God damn it. Whenever anyone says know your audience, you know it's a person who doesn't know anything about comedy writing and stand-up comedy. Because unless somebody explicitly tells you before the show, don't do these types, these are the things you can't do at the show. That's fair game. If they say, hey, here's the show, we'll pay you this, and you can't do any jokes about race, you can't do any jokes about sex, no jokes, everything has to be clean, okay? Then, and you agree to that, and you break those rules, that's on you, totally. But if they go, they don't specify, and they just say, yeah, just go up there and, you know, do comedy for this amount of time, and comedy is whatever you, as the comedian, deem comedy, your act. You can't write your act the day before a show. You can rewrite parts of it, you know, you can work on it, but you can't change who you are right before you go up. You are who you are, and you say the things that you say. So know your audience? No, I can't know my audience. Also, I can't fucking make assumptions about who people are. That's why somebody says know your audience. I can't know them because I don't. Because what would I know by looking at someone's face? You can't look at someone's face and know what they think. You know, you don't know what a black guy thinks. You don't know what a white woman thinks. You don't know what a black woman thinks just by looking at their face. You don't know what an old guy thinks or an older woman thinks. You don't know what a 15-year-old thinks. You can't. You can take a guess, but you don't know. And any time in my experience of doing stand-up, any time I have guessed what I think the people want, I have been wrong. I have been wrong. Anytime I've looked at an audience and gone like, you know what? They're a little older. I don't think they're going to like any jokes about sex. I go up, milquetoast set. Then after me, someone goes up and they're like, eh, pussy, dick, asshole. And they murder. And I'm like, wow, I could have done great if I was only who I am. Lesson learned. You can't get, you know your audience. You can't. You go up and you are who you are. It's the people that book you's job to make sure the booking is good. And most of us aren't in a financial situation where we can turn stuff down. If someone's going to give you $500 to $1,000 to do a show or $2,000, whatever, a bigger payday than these $20 club spots in New York City or free shows in Brooklyn, if somebody's going to pay you and then they don't specify what they want out of you, I mean, you're going to take it every time. Even if they're like, all right, so this is a show in a retirement home. Most of these people have Alzheimer's. We're going to give you $1,000 and you have to drive an hour for that show. It's like, yeah, I'll fucking do that. At where I am right now, I'll drive an hour for $1,000 and do what I do for a bunch of Alzheimer's patients. And I know that show's not going to go well. I know I'm about to bomb completely. But, you know, I can't say no to that. Because I got to pay rent. So, yeah, you don't get to know your audience. You can't know. That's stereotyping. I thought that's the thing we were all against, was stereotyping. I thought we all didn't want people to judge us based off our skin color, gender, whatever, and think they knew us. That's not... You know what I mean? I hate when I'm in the times I'm at a mic or in the back of the room at a show and someone does some fucking lame ass joke about like what white guys are always like. And I'm like, I don't do that. I don't do that at all. So yeah, white guys don't do that. Like some comedian did a joke and he was like, man, white people, they always be wearing Dockers. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? There's not a white guy in this room wearing Dockers right now. Yes, I know, you know what? Take it back. That's kind of funny. White people eating Dockers. I mean, you know, as a black dude. I mean, I guess, yeah, Dockers is probably a white guy brand, I suppose, but I mean, no. It's such a benign stereotype. It's like you could even, I can't be offended by that. But my only point is that, like, it's not true. Another, oh man, there's like a group of like black, there's a group within black comedian, within black comedians that like the ones that kind of do, hacky, what I consider hacky. And of course, you know, my hackometer could be fucking wrong. And someone probably looks at what I do and they go, man, what a hack. Just like someone has looked at what Louis C.K. does and gone, what a hack. Or Bill Burr, what a hack. Or people looked at Amy Schumer and gone, what a hack. So everyone's just throwing, saying everyone else is a hack except themselves. That's, I put that caveat on what I'm about to say. But I know that there's like some, I've seen some of my black comedian peers, they do this, this is like, there's so many of them that have bits about how they didn't know that certain vegetables existed. Like, come on, man, really? You didn't know arugula existed? Come on, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah. You didn't know that kale, you didn't know people would eat kale? Come on, man. You knew what kale was. Don't act like you'd ever. They'd be like, man, why are people eating arugula? That's a Christian Duran bit. I got to throw that out there. Go check out his cartoon. But we were talking about on the phone. It's like, dude, you fucking know what arugula is, all right? You know what cabbage is. You know what okra is. Stop it. Stop it. This isn't. These are common vegetables they have at every grocery store. You know? Stop it. That's such nonsense. I appreciate that woman emailed me. I really do. I really do. If only for the fact that it was thought-provoking. It made me think about what I do. Which maybe that's what she wanted. Maybe she just wanted me to think about what I do. And fuck! Y'all are goddamn radio silent on the other end of all this stuff. Like, that's what stand-up is good. Is because you say the joke, you hear the laugh, and if you hear the laugh, you go, that was good. That was good. Did I get a laugh? Yes. That was good. Did I get not a laugh? Then it wasn't good. Or maybe tonight it didn't hit. That's another, you know, part within that. But it's not determined by, yeah, it's not determined by how true a thing is. Just like fucking people laughed when that black guy went, why people be wearing Dockers? I mean, yeah, probably more than, like, often than not, the people purchasing the Dockers. Probably white. But, you know, there's no strict one on that. There's no strict rule on that. But, yeah, probably Dockers. I mean, you look at their L.L. Bean, whatever. I'm glad. That email really hurt my feelings, though. You know, you always want to put off this perspective like, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about me. I don't fucking care. You deal with it, it's your problem. But the reality is, somebody says some stuff to me and it hurts my feelings. Makes me cry a little. Men can't cry. No, men cry all the time. I cry every time I see a movie and it's remotely heartfelt. I cry, okay? And now I have a dick between my legs, so that's how good these movies are. I got a dick between my legs, and I still cry during them. God damn, I can't believe I just did 45 minutes on that. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. I hope she listens to this podcast. Maybe I'll fucking send it to her. What, I want her to go give me a one-star review on every platform she can? Oh my God, she happily will. She happily will. I don't know if I should do anything else. What do you guys even want? Who even knows anymore? Staying in some, like, goddamn awful motel this weekend. I'm really, you know, people who make it always glorify the days of yore before they were successful, and they romanticize it. And I want to go on the record here that when I make it, I am going to let you know that I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm not going to be like, man, I remember the good old days when I shared a bed, when I would share a full-size bed on the road in the most dangerous part of every city we were staying in, because those were the only motels we could afford. I am not going to romanticize that. I'm going to be like, man, remember how fun that was? No, I'm going to be like, hey, remember how fucking tired we were every time? And how we were worried that someone's going to punch out our car windows just to take a bottled water that was in the seat? Remember that? I'm not going to be like, man, that was awesome. No, I'll be like, that was terrible. Remember how we used to drive 6 hours all the time to do comedy? I'm not going to romanticize it. So when I make it and when I get loaded and I am flying places, staying in decent hotels and or, well, motels are never, there's no decent motel. There really isn't. Every motel on earth looks like a meth head owns it. And do they even build new motels? Every motel looks like it was built in 1970. I stay in so many motels, and every time you stay in one, you're like, we could wake up and a guy's going to be looking in our window. Because that's what people do in motels. They look in your window. Every time they walk by your room, they see what's going on in fucking there. That's what a person at a motel looks like. Yeah, I'm not going to romanticize this shit. Like, a lot of people, they always romanticize it. Like, even Lou's like, I remember the good old days of staying in bad motels. See, like, I think he said that either on a special or probably not, probably in, like, some interview. And I'm going to be like, no, you don't, dude. It's probably way better now. Minus the whole sexual assault scandal. Minus that. But prior to that, it was probably pretty dope. You bought a boat and you took your girls out on it and you ran it on shore. I mean, the fact that you were able to buy a giant fucking boat is way doper than, say, being an unsuccessful comedian staying at $50, $60 a night motels where the guy you greet at the door has access to your room and you look at him and you go, that's disconcerting. Don't romanticize that. All right, yo, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate every single one of you. The fact that you gave me your time and attention and that you made it to this point in this rant with no guests and that I also came here with you. We made this journey together. That means so much to me. It really does. And I wish maybe someone out there could say something positive to me afterward instead of staying radio silent. Because here's the truth. People who didn't have an ideal time, man, they're more than happy to let you know. They are. Negativity is such a stronger emotion than positivity. It really is. And so it would mean so much to me, maybe, if one of you gave me some goddamn positive reinforcement. All right? Could you email me? Could you Instagram me? Could you tweet at me? Could you write a review? Or, you know what? Don't do any of those things and simply keep listening and maybe tell a friend or two about it. Because like I've said many times before, I don't want to be some indie band playing shows for 15 people. I don't deserve that. All right? So tell some goddamn people about this fucking podcast for me. And come see me perform and watch me be the world's most offensive comedian. Thank you for listening, everybody. I love you all. Have a good one.